It's because of our belief system that we have scientists that are hired to study these issues, the interface between science and faith. That's the challenge, to help the church understand the limitations of science as well as the limitations of faith, so that we can find harmony there rather than constantly striving and thinking that the scientific community is evil or that people have some kind of conspiracy theory against us.
Some people would then say you're coming in with a bias because you are employed by a church to find evidence that supports that church's view of Scripture. How would you answer that?
Well, actually, I'm not really hired by the church to find evidence to support Scripture. I'm hired by the church to study, which means I get to go out and research any topic I like, anywhere in the world I like. And for me, because of my religious faith, it happens that the church agrees with me. And because of my religious faith, then I look at it through that context. And yes, I am absolutely very biased, and so is everyone else in science. If you're raised outside of Christianity or outside of any religious upbringing, let's say you grew up without any concept of there being even a God, you're not going to walk out and look at the mass mortality beds that are out there with all these fossil organisms that died and then were fossilized. You're not going to look at those and go, wow, here's evidence for a worldwide flood. The Bible must be true. That doesn't happen. But for me, when I go out, I don't look at it and go, wow, here's evidence for millions of years either, because everyone is biased. Everyone is looking at it through their own, from their own perspective.
Now, that's an interesting point you raise. And in a lecture you did recently, I noticed you're trying to encourage students to be critical of the data or critical of the interpretation of that data.
Basically, if you will look at the textbooks, go just pick a section. Go through and mark the actual data. What can you measure? What can you observe? What is directly considered evidence? Not something that's interpreted. Time is expressed in numbers, but time is an interpretation of the data. The actual data is the distribution of the isotopes of these little thorium-uranium particles, shall we say. And so you're not really looking at the data when you're looking at a statement about time. In addition, in a lot of these ideas, it's merely theory. We don't actually know for certain the way the Earth was created or the way in which layers were deposited. We have to look at clues, just like in a mystery. We look at the clues and we try to figure out what happened. And that's very difficult and subject to multiple interpretations, typically. You can go out into the field and you can see a wide variety of interpretations. I know that there are 5 or 6 different kinds of fluvial systems, that's river systems. And there was an outcrop in the western U.S. where they had a big conference of professors in all the diverse areas of fluvial systems, river systems. And they had their students out there. And each professor was looking at the outcrop and saying, now you see all of this data. That's why this is a such and such type of system. This is a braided stream system or a anastomosing system or something like that. But every single professor saw evidence for the type of system that he studied. So I was sitting there listening to the student who had participated in this going, that's incredible. Now, they all agreed it was a fluvial system. Well, what if there had been a lacustrine professor there, someone who studies lakes? Would he have seen evidence of lake deposition? Perhaps somebody who studies deltas would have said, oh, this is a deltaic system. You don't know because the data, you never have enough data. You only have bits and pieces, and you can often interpret that in several ways. You help your children do that by looking at the text and saying, what is the data? How have they interpreted it? Is that the only way to interpret that?
If these multiple interpretations are there, why is it then that when I read my children's school textbooks and when I sit watching the television and beautiful nature programs that make claims which I personally disagree with, why is it that those multiple interpretations aren't shared in that context?
Textbooks are never designed to show that. It's interesting. I had a class in college that was I was already in my senior year and I was taking a sophomore level class in historical geology. And my professor was presenting information on radiometric dating and this kind of thing. And when he was done, I went up afterwards and I said, I don't understand. I said, you and I both know that this is not that clean, that there are all kinds of problems with what you just presented on radiometric dating. And he said, well, yes, you and I know that, but that's not the purpose of this class. The purpose of this class is to indoctrinate the students so that when they run into the problems, they don't just dump it all out the window. I was shocked. That really surprised me because I didn't think of my undergraduate classes as being designed to indoctrinate me. But basically, you're getting basic information, what they want you to know, what they want you to believe, in effect.
So let's be critical of the data.
Yes, absolutely. Not so much critical of the data, careful to determine what actually is data, and be critical of the interpretations. Because much of what you read is just an interpretation. If you take any article, a newspaper article, a magazine article, and you highlight just the data, just what can be seen, what can be measured, observed, experimental results, this kind of thing, even experimental results have a lot of interpretation in them because of the way the experiment is set up. But get as close to the original data as you can, and when you look to see how much data is there versus how much interpretation is there, I think you'll be surprised that most is speculation.